Welcome to Dial M from Able, the AV Club's deep dive look at Riverdale. Today we're sitting down to talk about Riverdale's riff on heist movies, The Great Escape. I'm your host, AV Club Senior Editor Mara Eakin, and I'm joined as always by Cameron Sheets. Hi.
Hey. I'm in the mood for heist then.
Yeah.
I just saw Widows too, so this feels like it's a big week for heist. Heists are hot right now.
Heists are hot. You know, if you want to break the ice here,
sure.
We can sort of talk about our favorite heist movies.
Let's do it.
Because I was going to say, that reminds me of Ocean's 8, which mm-hmm. I saw. Mm-hmm. Speaking of heist, you can see that at Redbox, I think.
Yeah.
And streaming. I enjoyed it, but I think, you know, you asked what your favorite heist movie is mm-hmm. here in the notes, and I would say probably one of the Oceans, probably Ocean's 11.
Yeah, that's so fun. It just, I mean, I think that what that movie does well is, like, you get, like, a group of, you know, half the time they're not even fully formed characters, but it's like a personality.
Of course.
And there's something with like bringing the team together that I love so much.
I think just like kind of the edit and, you know, they don't necessarily need to be fully formed characters in a heist movie as far as I'm concerned.
Because yeah,
it's kind of like, yeah. Who
cares? Everybody's got their role to fill.
It's just, it's like fun. You're trying to figure out what the twist is. Mm-hmm. And then
when shit goes down, mm-hmm. I think that like, I really, really love A Fish Called Wanda, and that's mm-hmm. more of like just, I mean, it's a comedy with like the heist backbone to it, but like the characters in that are amazing. Jamie Lee Curtis is so hot. and so is Kevin Klein. I just think that that's like one of those ones where you like have these like really funny characters that you throw into this crazy situation together. So that I usually say is my favorite, although I also love Out of Sight, that really steamy, speaking of hot.
I haven't seen it.
J-Lo, George Clooney movie.
I haven't seen either one of those.
Whoa.
I'm like, how do I put this? There was like a whole period of my young life that I just didn't watch movies.
Oh.
I mean, I know everything like about Nickelodeon backwards and forwards,
mm-hmm.
but like I just wouldn't watch movies for whatever reason.
I worked at a video rental store, so okay. That was like all of my life for a while. I'd be like, I don't need to hang out with my friends. I'm going to watch Out of Sight.
I have like a big like blind spot where it's just like, yeah, I've never seen Terminator 2. Like I've, you know, just things like that. And then mm-hmm. it gets this thing where you're like, where I'm 38 years old and it's like, do I need to watch T2? Probably not.
Yeah, right. I mean, you could, but you won't have a bad time. I don't know. You should watch these two. I mean, I think I just like wanted to bring them up to underline like, I don't know. Heist movies are fun. Heist movies are my shit. I loved Widows, which I got a little sneak preview of.
I will always watch a heist movie. Mm-hmm. My husband will always watch a disaster movie, like anything, like even like a geostorm.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like anything where like, you know, a giant tidal wave like sweeps through New York or whatever.
Oh my God.
Or like a alien kind of apocalypse film.
I have to bring up, there was a movie earlier this year. I don't know who was in it, but it's called Hurricane Heist, which like you guys could watch that together and it'd be the perfect...
Yeah.
You got your heist and your natural disaster.
I think it's supposed to be total garbage.
But oh, I'm
positive. So is Geostorm and we watched that. Again, not to bring up what I originally brought up, but Redbox.
Oh, yeah.
But anything that's like $1.25 at Redbox, like when you're sick or whatever, you're like, let's watch this garbage.
Are we getting sponsored by Redbox?
I wish. I've always, this is another story, but.
Bring it on.
I was going to say, I've always tried to do stories about Redbox mm-hmm. or like to do videos about Redbox for AV Club. Like I'll write to them and be like, can I go to a Redbox facility and like see how you stock the machines and see what's inside the machines and see how you know how you make sure what like the movies are distributed appropriately and stuff like that. And then like no one ever writes me back. Or sometimes people will write me back and be like, yes, totally. And then they like, and then nothing happens from it. And I'm
weird.
Like, come, I have to. Redbox, keeping it secret.
They don't need to play the game. I guess they just think they're fine. They're going to be at grocery stores in the Midwest mm-hmm. for years and years to come. So.
There are grocery stores here, too.
Yes.
That's how I know sometimes when things are out.
Yeah.
Because I'll be like at, you know, Vons or whatever and see the sign for whatever movie.
Yeah. And then you're like, oh, I'll watch that. Yeah. Redbox, let's talk about a red fox.
Yeah, Red Paladin.
Yeah. My transition game is strong. The Red Paladin, Archie...
Mm-hmm.
This Archie episode Edgers. Is a big heist episode.
Yeah.
And I think it's a ton of fun.
I think so too. It's silly.
Yeah.
And it maybe makes Definitely. No sense, but that's okay. It's Riverdale.
Mm-hmm.
there's a person that I know that's like just kind of getting through the show's second season now. And she keeps like texting me and be like, why am I even watching the show? It's so stupid. And I'll be like, yeah, I don't mind that it's stupid. Like
yeah,
I
like,
enjoy
I
that it is stupid.
This.
Like if you don't want to watch it because it's stupid, then mm-hmm. you don't want to watch the show.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I don't know. They just keep throwing these fun, different like genre things at us. I'm here for it. And, mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess I thought this was going to be more of a straight up like a prison escape thing. But it is kind of, I mean, it is about getting Archie out of prison, but it's like framed and even shot like a heist where they have like, here's the plan, and you're simultaneously seeing things happen, which I was just like loving, like the split screen stuff they were doing. Mm-hmm. We do get a little bit, I mean, in the beginning, Archie
a very poorly planned out escape where they're just like, let's run for the fence.
That was it. Yeah. They just turned off the electricity and then ran for the fence. I thought people were straight up getting shot. It was really freaking me out. Yeah,
rubber bullets.
But they weren't. Archie goes back for Joaquin. They wouldn't mm-hmm. have made it regardless because even the people that were ahead of them were like, I don't know.
No. And then like once you make it over the fence, like, cool. They can still see you. Do you mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. they're not going to be like, well, they got over the fence. Goodbye.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they're going to know. Yeah. You're in your prison sweat.
There's only so far for them to go.
Yeah. Not fully thought out, but I mean, obviously they get caught. Warden decides to, I guess, punish Archie by tying him up extremely weirdly sexual.
Yeah. Super weird.
I don't know if it's just because he's like jacked and it's like, look at his freaking pecs under those. That
it's
rope,
like a bunch of like leather straps too. It's, really it's like weird. Super weird.
And then it gets branded. Which,
yeah, we'll find out more.
Yeah,
about
we'll talk
later.
More about that. I but am
speaking
kind
of that. we also pick up with Jughead and Betty, like right where we left off. Mm. And
yeah, we kind of get that one scene all over again, which I wasn't a fan of. Where
I
he's
really
like,
expected him to be like, "Haha, psych." Uh-huh. Do you know what I mean? But no.
Yeah, I mean, this episode is weird because I think you know I was like, "There's no way in my mind that Jug gets that invested in the game." And there are times where you're like, "Okay, you kind of see him still acting logically," and other times he just really throws himself into it. And I like don't know. I was just kind of frustrated with that. I mean, that was kind of the weaker part of the episode in my mind is just like, I don't buy that scene where they're outside and he has Cheryl shoot the arrow at his head just to prove that mm-hmm. he should be the game master.
Shoot a dead eye.
I was really bummed about that. But yeah, we get the long conversation between those two and Betty's kind of filling him in on Midnight Club, not mentioning that she knows a chick. Or no, I'm sorry, that they have like a half-brother together, but maybe she doesn't know that.
But the half-brother's Chick, right?
Well, no, Chick
oh, yeah,
killed,
it's not really Chick, but it's Chick.
But she didn't mention that to Jughead, which is, if she does know, that's weird. But maybe Alice really didn't tell her that detail, and she just mentions that she was pregnant, you know? Maybe she, because I think.
But I thought that she was pregnant with Chick, but it's like not her Denton. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
Like, because he says he killed Chick or Chick's dead or whatever, but I don't really believe that, mm-hmm. by the way. I think he's coming back some point.
I think so, too. I think a lot of people think that. But I'm just saying she doesn't... We get within the story of Midnight Club that she tells everyone that she's the girl she's pregnant with FP's baby, mm-hmm. but we don't hear Alice telling Betty that, and Betty doesn't react to that specifically.
Oh, okay.
So it's like, does Betty know?
We learned that last season. Anyways, I don't know. Maybe we just knew that because we knew.
Wow, I'm confusing myself. But she's telling Jug about all this, and he kind of puts up this argument that, well, the realm of Griffins and Gargoyles is called Eldervere, which...
It's an anagram.
It's an anagram, damn it. Mm-hmm. I wish... I don't know. I wouldn't have been able to figure that out because I didn't know how they were spelling it, but it's anagram for Riverdale. He's like, we're playing the game. We've been playing the game. This whole thing's a game, which is wild.
Let's hear the blurb.
Yeah.
This is the clarity I needed. This is the truth. Jean-G's myths, they're our stories. They're our parents' stories. Simple logic. Betty, how do you catch a game master? You become a game master yourself. That's what I'm doing. And in the end, when I prove that I'm at his level, I'll come face to face with him.
Fine. Fine. As long as you're safe down here, that's one less thing for me to worry about. So you keep playing. I'm going to go figure this out, starting with our 9 suspects.
I do like how Betty's like, fine, just stay down here.
Yeah.
Like, I got shit to do. Like, you're too crazy for me.
Yeah, it's pretty logical. It's a good move. And she does end up telling other people, which is good. But yeah, Jug is like, I don't know. He's all in and thinks that he's just got to become the game master to get close.
He seems a little nuts. Like, I kind of buy part of his theory. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm like, oh, yeah, like, it is much bigger than, like, it's not just, like, a bunch of high school mm-hmm. kids. Like, it, and I mean, as we learn later in the thing, like, it goes way beyond that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, his, like, manic intensity is, like, just ridiculous.
He really freaks me out. But, yeah, the fact that it is only being played in Riverdale is really interesting and mm-hmm. specific. And I don't know anything about the origins of it, but...
So I think we should sort of talk about how Betty, you know, tells Josie, Casey, Kevin, mm-hmm. and Reggie about the about her what her mom yeah. said, and like is like find out. And so they all try to find out. They don't really get any information from their parents. But also Jug tells FP.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And FP is like, that's Alice's version of the story. Yeah, which makes me think like,
Yeah, I mean, that was, I mean, Tom and Sierra basically deny it outright, which is like, okay, we know you guys are lying. But then to also have FP kind of be like, yeah, say what you had just said. It's like, that's kind of what we were wondering. It's mm-hmm. like, we're definitely only getting Alice's side of the story. And she left, so she obviously doesn't know everything that happened that night.
So are FP and Alice like still sleeping together? Like,
I don't
they
know.
They are, right? Like, shouldn't he be like, Alice?
They were three episodes ago.
It's a parallel show where we just mm-hmm. follow the parents around.
I mean, yeah, I would watch that too, obviously.
Web extras, at least.
We call it Elder Fair. Because they're the elders. Yeah, I mean, I also wanted to say I really like the fact that we actually see Betty telling everybody this, because it is like kind of an important thing. And I think at other times in the show, or, you know, I wouldn't have been surprised if we never like see her really telling anybody. So it was nice that we do get that. I actually wanted to play that soundbite too, where she tells Josie, Kevin, and Reggie. So
hold up. You're telling me that my mother was a rule-breaking, anti-apartheid activist in high school?
And that she and my dad were together back then?
I don't buy it. There's no way my old man hung out and did, like, cosplay with a group of lame-ass nerds.
Okay, it's true, Reggie.
And you want us to find out what exactly?
So Reggie gets punched.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
He said there's no way his old man could be such a dork.
That's really dark.
Yeah.
I mean, the dork thing was funny earlier, and then when he brings it up to his dad and he gets
it does make sense, like, though, kind of in a way, right? Like, why he's such a bully, and then, like, it's you're like, yeah, it's...
Yeah, because your dad
gives
is
you
like
a backstory,
mm-hmm,
a complicated
mm-hmm.
backstory.
Poor guy.
I know.
And, well, I mean, he tells them when Kevin and Josie are talking to their parents, it pops, which I did like that scene. I was like, oh, sweet.
Mm-hmm.
They announce that they're going to get married, which...
Mm-hmm.
is good.
Sure, why not?
Yeah.
I don't care.
I mean, I guess we just don't give a shit. We did actually meet Josie's dad at one point.
Oh, yeah. He was like a dickhead jazz musician.
Yeah.
So you know, guess they actually got divorced and that divorce went through?
Yeah. There's no validity to this, I don't think, yet. But someone, I think on Twitter, did just offhand mention that they think Josie's dad is the Gargoyle King, which would be like, wow, what if he's just like, this is all revenge on Tom?
That would be so strange.
Yeah.
Or like... Or Kevin's mom is like back from Iraq or whatever.
Yeah. I wouldn't mess with her. Yeah, pretty weird.
Speaking of shitty dads.
Yes.
Veronica.
And hot dads.
Yes. In like muscle t-shirts.
Yeah.
Veronica is seeking help from Elio, the like fellow mafia teen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To
from like a different TV
to
show,
get
basically.
Into the prison fights to basically figure out like what's up with Archie.
Yeah.
Because and he's like, I heard some stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he decides to help her out and has her get dressed up as...
To look exactly like herself, mm-hmm. but in a blonde wig.
In a blonde wig. When she takes her wig off later, mm-hmm. she's just in the purple dress. And I mean, I'm assuming intentional, but that like looks a lot like some of the like classic comics Veronicas that you see. Because she wears purple a lot in the mm-hmm. comics. And I was like, oh, they had to have done that on purpose, right?
I wonder if purple just, like, reads really well in, like, newsprint. Do you yeah. know what I mean?
Right,
yeah, like old comics.
Yeah, it stands out. But, yeah, she looks just like herself. And she's Monica Posh until later in the episode when she pretends to be related to Warden Norton, which goes unquestioned, but...
Yeah, why didn't... He was like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, I've heard he has a daughter. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's just like, sure, go on in. And I really suspected someone to, like, bust them once they got inside.
Yeah,
but
oh,
again,
definitely.
It didn't happen.
But when they go in the first time, when she's with Elio, mm-hmm. well, that's when she first finds out that this is the Seaside Rec Center, which we've heard about Seaside from time to time. I don't think it's all that significant, but it was at one point where the Serpents were going to get transferred when they were like going to get kicked out of Riverdale High.
Okay.
Interestingly. But we don't really know much else about it. The town, except for it has an abandoned rec center, and that's where the prison fight is.
Seaside, Greendale, Riverdale.
Which I guess means that every time Archie goes to one of those fights, he's getting bussed somewhere, which I didn't realize.
Or they just keep them there? Nope, they're still in the prison yard.
Yeah, Leopold and Loeb Correctional. Yeah. I think they're two different places, but I wouldn't have known.
I guess. But they put bags over their heads.
Yeah, right.
And like just like drop them in this.
Oh yeah, doesn't he come out with a bag on his head when they're first there? And yeah. Veronica's like, I'd recognize those abs anywhere.
Yes. I was really surprised you didn't pull that quote.
Yeah.
But it is just one line, so.
I mean, it's my favorite line of the episode. And it's like, yeah, of course you would.
How did she not see his brand then? Is it like that low on him? Do you know what I mean?
Is
it like below his waistband?
That's a good point. Maybe they
it's kind
do
of gross.
Hike the shorts up for the fight. Gives you a little more mobility if the shorts aren't like hanging below the knee. It's like classic basketball uniform anyway. So yeah, he brings her in. So now she knows where he is. And then.
Okay. Then the grossest thing happens, I think. Or like the weirdest thing where she's like sneaks into like the locker room where he's just by himself, completely unsupervised, which is, again, makes no sense. Like why wouldn't he just like. God.
Yeah.
I'm just going to hit my head against the microphone. But like, okay. So then she's like, Archie, what's going on? What's like, why are you here? Why are you fighting? I wouldn't do this. And he's like, I don't really want to talk right now, Veronica. Well, like, and then they like do it. First of all, right when she goes in, she's like, we probably have 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then like after they finish, they still have enough time to like calm down, put on clothes, look good.
Yeah.
And talk some more. So it's like, well, it was some hot locker sex that took 3 minutes.
I guess it probably, he was excited.
I know. He has been all cooped up in prison.
But yeah, obviously a weird moment. If this locker room's rocking, don't
come knocking, I guess. Yeah. But it's just really weird and gross. I don't know. It's just like another excuse for him to take his shirt off, which I'm not against, but like,
right.
But it is like, okay. Like, no, you should want to talk right now. Like, if you're in some shit.
Yeah, I guess at this point, too, I'm not really sure how long it's been since she's seen him. At one point, we knew it was 3 weeks after Dilton died.
Yeah.
Then, so it's maybe been a little while. And they miss each other. So
fair enough. They're teenagers.
But what is he? He tells her that when he was cleaning up the pool at one point, he noticed the drain.
And
thought that that might be something. So she just basically takes that and is like, okay.
And runs with it. And somehow figures out. Let's come back to this.
Yeah, for sure.
We'll come back. And yeah, let's take a break and then we'll come back and talk about Serpentos. That's my word for serpents.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
All right, we are back. Jughead and the Serpents are not so.
Yeah, man. I mean, we already talked about the whole arrow over the head thing, but this, especially once we really get into the like Scooby Gang doing this heist thing and we're just watching them play this game, I was like, what a lame gang the Serpents are.
Yeah, I was also like, when, you know, Betty sort of at the end of last episode, like walks in and Jughead's being crazy, like I cannot see Cheryl or Tony or like any of those other dudes like buying into it.
Yeah, me neither.
But then like they totally sort of do, like when they break into the armory and are like trying to go on a real life quest. It seems like they're like 13 years old, like LARPing. Yeah. But then like how would Cheryl ever get this into it? Do you know what I mean?
Of course.
It's so weird.
It doesn't fully make sense. I mean, except for the fact that in the world of the show, we're constantly told that like Jughead is like a good writer, reporter. So maybe he is just able to write these like really amazing G&G narratives.
I still just feel like Cheryl would be like, roll the dice, idiot.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, I guess we're playing. I don't know. And we don't even like really get Toni as a human being character in this episode, or we really haven't all season. She's just kind of there to be.
We know they're having a rendezvous. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, they did mention that. Right. And Fangs and Sweet Pea. Yeah. I don't know. It's a little dispiriting. I mean, that gang has gone from big numbers to just these five hanging out and playing games.
I mean, it is also not that I want like more like what's going on with the serpents, but like, so they're just like living in like tents now. Like, we're not even like, are we trying to solve that? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's weird. It's like the old, it's like serpent camp, but it's all outside of that trailer. Yeah, I don't really know. I don't really have a good sense of where they're at as a gang right now anyway. But clearly they're desperate if they're just going to throw themselves into playing this game. Mm-hmm. I guess we didn't mention it because it happens at the beginning of the episode too. We don't really have the classic Jughead voiceover. It's more of like he's reading the story of the
master,
game and just
yeah.
perfectly maps onto real life. Which I think like Jughead would have you believe that it's because the game is somehow telling their story and has been telling their story.
So, yeah. So, like, then basically Jug writes a quest.
Yeah.
That somehow matches exactly the heist.
He's inspired by by Archie being in trouble. He's like, oh,
again, I do not understand Dungeons & Dragons. Like, I do not understand this D&D, and I don't understand Griffins and Gargoyles. I think I need... Please, if you are a listener and you are a real-life D&D person.
We said this last week, but we're, like, pretty serious. Like, if you can give us... I mean, I'm sure we could read some stuff, but I'd rather hear it from one of you guys. Like,
does this make any sense?
Yeah.
Like, is it... You know, is it a thing that you could do? I mean, other than the whole, like, murdering people thing.
Yeah, I don't think that anyone playing D&D actually dies. But I do... We'll get back to the game a little bit later, because I had something I wanted to bring up. But, So at the same time this is happening, and this is where we start getting like the split screen and stuff, because then you also get the meeting of the group, which I love this, like getting Veronica, Betty, Kevin, Reggie, Josie all together on this plan. You get them kind of like planning things out. You see them testing the smoke bombs, which is a fun little
the cans.
Heist scene. Yeah, in the cans. And then it's like one by one, you kind of see everybody going off and doing their job, starting with Kevin showing up as a fake delivery man with his cans just to get them in.
Kevin always gets the lamest job, and I love it. Where he's like,
oh, I have to deliver these cans.
Yeah.
And then Reggie's job is always just to like be like a hot chauffeur.
Yeah.
Chauffeur.
Is that his car, too? Is that the one we've seen before?
I don't know. It's a great car.
But yeah, he shows up in the car.
It's a very cool car.
What I like is there's the whole thing about them like trying to sneak in and pretend to be somebody else, and somehow Josie just got like hired on to be a server,
like a cater waiter, yeah,
which is funny.
And then Betty is like basically like channeling 90s Alice, which I love.
Yeah,
has her serpent's jacket on.
Oh yeah, she goes to fuck up the warden's car.
Yeah,
she is using her automotive. See, it's like yeah, you get everybody with the one thing they're good at,
and she knows how to drive a motorcycle now. Fine with me.
Yeah, which I love. I mean,
she's like, I'm taking your bike, Jug. Bye. let me ask a question. Mm-hmm. So, like, I kind of thought when Jughead was like, it's perfect. It's a real life quest, because they wanted to go on like a real life quest.
Yeah, off the board.
Off the board. But then no, they just stay on the board. Mm-hmm. But somehow it matches up. Like, he should have harnessed their power, but I don't think he could even like wrap his head around real life.
No, definitely not. But everyone's really freaking into it. Everyone's like shouting along with him as he narrates.
Your deception worked.
I think that, you know, I love seeing the gang get together to pull this off. And I think there's a couple of like little twists and turns that were genuinely surprising to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I was very unsurprised.
Oh, really?
I will say I'm always, not to toot my own horn, but I always know that stuff.
So
like I'll lean over to Andrew in movies and be like, that's not really her hair or what, you know what I mean? Like, and he'll be like, fuck you. Like,
yeah. Okay. So we knew about the Joaquin Archie kiss because of the trailer,
but
did you know that he was going to shiv him?
No, I didn't know that he was going to shiv Archie. I did think that was crazy. And then he's like crazy now, literally.
Yeah. I mean, he's like
in the
warden
game.
Says I can ascend, which is wild. I mean, this is the first hint that we get that the warden earlier had talked about
the higher power,
the higher power,
thing,
which was like suspicious, of course, but now we like have it like pretty plainly stated that obviously he's involved in the game too, and Joaquin is like lost it as well. So the kiss is a funny moment, but it like really doesn't matter because immediately after he stabs Archie, and now Archie has to go into this fight, handicapped.
Wounded, yeah.
With
because the warden did say, like, mm-hmm. during that talk about the God and so on, that it was time for Archie to go.
Yeah, yeah.
Archie was going to die.
And
big surprise, he doesn't. But, yeah, so then he goes into the fight, and he's fighting drumroll Mad Dog.
Mad Dog, who...
who appears in the previously on, so I knew he was coming back.
Yeah, of course. good heads up there. Yeah, and still... never not going to be surprised by how jacked he is. And
he's so jacked.
It takes a lot of muscle to make KJ look small, but holy shit.
Yeah. And also, like, he's like, come with me down the vent or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'd never fit down there.
Yeah.
Which I don't think Archie would really fit down there, but we'll suspend disbelief there.
No, that's a good point. That's a good point.
Like, when he comes out of the tube at the end, not to jump ahead, but he's like legit, like, barely, like, what is he, like, wiggling through like a snake?
And he's in like poop and blood water.
Yeah.
Which is gross. I was going to say the other part of this moment that actually genuinely, like, took me back for a second, even though it doesn't fully matter, is when Reggie and Veronica are walking in and you see Hiram all of a sudden. It kind of took my breath for a second. I was like, it doesn't matter, but it was still like a surprising thing to see him.
It's so insane though, like Hiram, like,
right,
shit's gonna go down, like Veronica's here.
Yeah,
do you know what
course.
I mean, like,
yeah, she kind of
grab her arm
that.
Or something, and then like,
right. All she has to do is step on his foot with her heel, and
yeah,
kind of diffuses that situation for a moment.
And again, why are they still living together?
Yeah, of course.
Where she's like, "Daddy, you can't get to me."
Yeah,
like, oh my God, Veronica, get your own place.
I mean, it's gotta happen. Well, I have thoughts on the Hermione stuff later too, but yes, after that happens, then they're just like, "We got to do it now," and they throw their little smoke cans and. Mad Dog is like, as you mentioned, is like, I'm not gonna fit, so he decides to stay and like ward off the
and basically like probably get murdered, right? Like, that's
I
bet he gets beat to death.
I mean, they haven't murdered anyone yet within the prison that we know about, but also I don't know. I'm not really sure.
Feels like I mean, yeah. Like, other than maybe he just gets like beat within an inch of his life. It feels like really gross.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely.
And like racist. Do you know what I mean? Like, it feels like, oh no.
Yeah, see,
like
the cops,
these guards coming at him. Yeah.
Yeah, it feels very, very weird.
And the smoke bombs and stuff.
They don't show much, which is good, but mm-hmm. still. Archie goes in the sewer, comes out the other side. Betty's there to let him out. Kevin had run off after Joaquin for a second.
Yeah, because Joaquin's like running through the woods like a scared rabbit.
Yeah, he's like, what's up? How you been? Mm-hmm. And then they get on the bike and...
surprise, it's Kevin. It's not Jughead. It's not Archie.
Yeah.
Were you surprised?
I guess I didn't think it was going to be Archie, but it still surprised me. And maybe I was more surprised by how hot Casey looked in the leather jacket.
He did. He looked really good.
They both look so cool on the bike.
What's up, guys? Or whatever they said at the end.
As they're racing through the woods, Jughead's game narration gets intense, and I wanted to play that because it is like comical how heightened it gets for a second there.
You lean forward in your saddle, urging your horse to fly. On all sides, the forest becomes a blur of green, but a quick peek back reveals the Emperor's nightmares galloping at supernatural speed. It's like hell itself is chasing you, and it's gaining ground. One loose rock, one cursed root would send you toppling at this lethal speed. You force those thoughts out of your mind. You feel the battle fury of your forefathers rise within you, an inextinguishable fire pulsing through your veins. You are the light, outrunning the darkness.
It's on the other side.
You will escape. You will be victorious.
It's like hell itself is chasing you.
Yeah. Great.
He's a teenager.
I know he is. He gets so into it. It's really funny. But it works. Like, the motorcycle chase is fun.
It does. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
The scenes where you can tell,
like, the dirt bikey motorcycle.
The scenes where you can tell it's like actually like Lily as Betty in the front of the bike. It's very clearly like the motorcycle on top of a rig, like moving through. But I don't know. It still is like filmed really well. And I wanted to say, I guess I won't name names, but we did see another like TV show drama fairly recently. And I was like, oh my God, Riverdale is heads and shoulders above other shows in terms of production quality and just a lot
about.
Of, you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just, I don't know. It made me appreciate the
show.
Their
budget might be bigger.
The budget's got to be bigger. I'm sure this show does well and gets a lot of money, but they also just like really... there's a lot of really artistic shots. It's, I don't know. They put a lot more time into it. It doesn't look like other TV shows, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. But
I think a lot more shows are starting to look like Riverdale. Like, have you seen the posters for that show West Side?
I have seen
it's
the
like
posters.
It's like that drama. It's like that like reality show or whatever, but about like theater.
Yeah.
But I was like, yo, these look like Riverdale posters.
Well, yeah. They're like, what
it's that
like.
Lighting. Yeah.
They like the blue, gray.
Like the Murder on the Orient Express.
With some neon. Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely that.
It's a very specific aesthetic right now.
But I guess back to the end of this. Archie gets out.
He
of
gets
course.
Out. He is probably going to die. Of course, they don't take him to a hospital. They're just like, he'll heal up. Like Tony sews him up.
Yeah, I guess so.
She's good at everything.
They're in the bunker, which
yeah,
is
they're in the bunker, and they all vow not to talk about it. That's going to last for 5 seconds.
I do like the part where Archie's like, Tilton has a bunker, and everyone's just kind of like, yeah.
No one told him, like, he's could been no gone. One he's visit him? I don't know. It's...
He's missed a lot. Yeah, so he's just going to kind of have to hide out down there. Mm-hmm. And we see his branding again, which is, again, very clearly one of the, like, Lovecraft alphabet letters.
Yeah, it's like the one that looks like a V.
I think it's is it a V?
I don't know. I thought so.
I would have to look at them. I was thinking it was an X, which I was just like, oh, is that just supposed to be, like, now you're branded, but a V. Interesting.
I don't know. I can't really remember.
I'll have to watch it again closely. Yeah. But he's going to hide out down there, and they kind of all are like, we're not going to talk about this, which I think was maybe meant to mirror the parents, like saying they're not going to talk about Midnight Club stuff. But
then like instantly it goes beyond that.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
of course
I'm trying to remember. This was very late last night when I watched this, but like, aren't they like, guys, we're going to play outside or whatever?
Well, yeah.
Like,
then, like, the
Reggie
next scene.
And Kevin and Josie are going to play, right?
Yeah. They're like, which I guess I understand sort of. Mm-hmm. I just don't want them to get super into it like Jughead was. But they, like, want to try and do things on their own. And it's like, okay, if we're just going to, like, let Betty. I mean, Betty plays, like, detective so often and wants to throw herself into things. So I think it makes sense that the friends are like, we want to be part of this. Like,
and I would like to see a little more of those three, I guess.
Me too. Absolutely. It was, like, fun to have them involved in, like, the main plot this time. And they hear over the radio.
Yeah.
That, like, it was, like, old-timey, like, radio crackles and attention, attention. Archie's on the loose.
Archie's on the loose, and the warden's dead.
Yeah. Yeah, the warden...
kills himself.
He kills himself, and it's like... I don't know, it's weird, because he had that card that said, kill the Red Paladin, and it was like... the voiceover, like, basically is like, well, he completed his game, so now he ascends.
But he didn't complete
the game. Yeah. Or maybe he just thinks he failed, but why does he get to ascend then?
Maybe he doesn't get to... Maybe he's like, I failed.
He probably doesn't.
The end. Like, I'm dead now.
Very weird that he was playing, and it kind of just makes me think more about, like, how involved is Hiram in this, like, resurgence of the game, just because the warden and Hiram were, like, in cahoots. I don't know.
But that's so weird. I don't know.
It is. It's definitely weird. I don't know.
Maybe Hiram's now, like, planning to open, like he was doing those prisons. Now it's going to be, like, mental facilities.
Yeah, maybe.
Where he's going to put everybody.
You're probably right. But speaking of Hiram, I mean, one of the other final scenes of the episode, I wanted to play just because let's play it real quick.
Oh, and finally, she arrives. Do you have any idea the kind of mess you have made?
Me? What about your husband?
Oh, madre de Dios, you two are unbelievable. This obsession that you both have with Archie Andrews is going to destroy us.
Where the hell are you going?
To try and contain the mess that you and your daughter made.
Ugh, madre de Dios.
Very funny.
Mother of God.
I really liked Hermione calling them both out over their obsession with Archie, which is like, it makes sense for Veronica because she's a teen and this is her boyfriend, but it's like, Hiram really needs to get over this Archie shit.
Yeah, like, what's his deal? Is it just because Archie no, I don't want to be in your gang?
Yeah. I mean, obviously he's causing more problems now that he's like breaking out of prison and stuff, but it does just bring to a head the whole thing where it's like, why is Veronica still living there? It's really funny for her to be like, your husband, and you know, she's not calling him Daddykins anymore.
I feel like at some point this is going to end. This is not okay. How would I put this? It's not really going to end because it's TV and we're like involved in a TV drama, but like if in real life, like two people were fighting over this person like that, like eventually this fighting ends and then you go, oh yeah, that's her. And then like the romance is out of it. Do you know what I mean? Like you're like, oh, I don't actually even really like this person that much.
Yeah.
So that's where I feel about that.
Yeah.
It's, like that, it's Archie, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know.
He's boring.
That's speaking of
things that are not boring, no, Jughead runs into the Gargoyle King.
I think I forgot because how many episodes it's dumb as ended shit. With like, the Gargoyle King showing
like
up.
Like a bunch of sticks and like some stilts.
Do you think, no, that's speculation booth material, but yeah, he leaves and runs into him immediately. Mm-hmm. That's the end.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a break and we'll come back and like dive into the speculation booth. Cameron, we are back, and it is time to pop a squat at the speculation booth to run down all of our theories for what lies ahead. I don't know. Do you think... So is he going to talk to the Gargoyle King? Jughead?
I don't know. I mean, if he does, how does that even work?
Yeah, I can't imagine the Gargoyle King talks. Mm-hmm. Is he just going to like be like, follow me? It seems like a Christmas Carol.
Oh,
like the,
it's like
Jacob Marley thing.
Uh-huh.
I have the chains.
It's always lit kind of spooky to it. Definitely feels like a ghost. Like, what if he goes up and he, like, goes to tap him on the shoulder and it's just been, like, a cloth draped over an old tree for a while now?
Like, literally.
I don't know.
Yeah, he wipes his eyes and it's just, like, some trees.
Yeah. I don't know. It's intriguing because it, I mean, we've not really seen the Gargoyle King actually interact with anyone yet. We just always see him turn around. That's all we ever get.
Yeah, no, but there's nothing.
Like, I get it. Your outfit's great. You want to show it off. So you have to do the kind of like step and repeat kind of like show off your... Anyway.
I also think they probably like any, you know, the first time the Gargoyle King talks, it's like going to blow any sort of mystery.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it starts saying help.
Maybe the voice is like super... It's like, Jughead, come with me.
It's Ethel.
Yeah.
On stilts.
Speaking of Ethel... And speaking of people, Joaquin, where did he go? Are we ever going to see Joaquin again?
I think we will. I don't know. Because I think that it's weird to think that Joaquin shows up and I was like, oh, yeah, maybe they'll talk. But it's like, oh, Kevin's still in this relationship with Moose, even though we haven't heard about Moose in a while.
Mm-hmm. And is Jughead still crazy? Like, is Jughead going to be able to help Archie down in the bunker, like his friend? And is anyone going to find him down there?
Yeah. I don't know. It seems at the end that all the serpents, despite throwing themselves into the game, they're still pretty like clued into like, okay, Archie is here and we want to protect him. And I guess like if you're buying into the story, then this is like the Red Paladin. So there's probably a whole story there where they have to like keep him safe in chamber.
Until someone comes up with like another quest that is like, kill the Red Paladin.
Mm-hmm.
Someone picks up the Warden's quest.
I wonder how, I mean, and like, do the quests overlap? Like if Reggie, Josie, and Kevin start playing their own game, could that interfere with the game that they're playing? I don't get Dungeons and Dragons.
No. I wonder if, you know how we learned earlier this year that Jughead's mom and sister are going to show up?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if Jughead like goes so crazy that FP like calls in his mom and sister.
Oh, could be. God, I forgot. We're going to see them.
It's got to be soon, right?
Yeah. Oh, my God. I'm so pumped for Gina Gershon. The one thing that I wanted to pull out from this episode and really call attention to was, like, so the warden, when they're having this dinner, he's telling Archie gets to ask him, like, about the Cassie Bullock thing. He's like, how did Hiram do this? Which I was like, yeah, I mean, of course he paid people off.
It's Cassidy, right?
Oh, yeah. Cassidy.
Right. It was a guy.
Yeah. Yeah. It definitely was. Oh, I just wrote Cassie.
I don't really remember.
And the warden's like, oh, well, he paid him off, of course. And those people are in hiding, which I don't even know why they need to be in hiding. But
$10,000, not a lot of money.
Yeah. But the way that the warden talks about where they are, he's like, well, they're probably in the mines by Shadow Lake. And it's him calling attention to that made me think that, like, at some point, Archie's going to go after them.
Because, I mean, they have to. His name's going to get cleared, mm-hmm. blah, 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 blah,
mm-hmm.
blah. Why wouldn't Hiram just kill him at the end?
Oh, those guys? I mean, he totally could. Maybe he tried to, and that's why they're in mm-hmm. hiding. But, yeah, I think Archie's going to go after them. And I actually kind of think that we talked about this when Riley Keough's casting was announced, and she's, like, lives on this farm that Archie and Jughead stay at. I think that I think that that's part of their whole like quest to go find these guys in the mines when they run into her. I don't know.
Let's talk about next week.
Yeah.
Everyone at home will have seen, well, it's not even next week. Next week's Thanksgiving.
Oh yeah, that's right. Next episode, we'll just say.
We have a special, well, we have a special episode for you guys next week.
Yeah, we'll have a little Thanksgiving treat.
Surprise for all your drives to grandma's house.
Yeah.
But the next time we see the Riverdale gang, it's going to be an episode called Manhunter.
Manhunter, which
Tell me about Manhunter.
This is the title of the 19... Oh, I wrote the wrong year, but it's Michael Mann's Manhunter, which is the very first Hannibal Lecter book to get turned into a movie. And it like is not, I mean, it doesn't have Anthony Hopkins. It's Brian Cox is playing Hannibal. And it's interesting. It's really good. I mean, if you like Michael Mann, he's like very stylized, like thrillers. And I mean, really, it's just about this former FBI agent tracking down this serial killer. But like there's all this backstory with him and Hannibal Lecter and their relationship. And I don't know. I think that we're just supposed to take the title pretty literally again, where there's like a manhunt for Archie.
Fair enough. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, they could have called it the Fugitive.
That's true.
But they went with the Manhunter, a deeper ref.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it means I just moved in my chair and I hope it didn't get picked up on mic because it sounded like a toot. I said that on mic. Okay, sure. Anyway, I don't know. We'll see. I wrote that there could be a little bit more to it. Maybe we're also like really tracking down the Gargoyle King's identity or something like that. I don't really know where we head, but
well, I mean, something has to happen with the Gargoyle King, I hope.
Mm-hmm. And then, as always, I pulled some fan theories from Twitter. The first one from Colin Sapra, Grundy's alive and behind everything, which
I hope, dude.
I mean, we saw.
On one hand, I don't hope because like her character's a big dud. But on the other hand, yeah, let's do it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like we talked about this last season as like a theory for who the Black Hood was, but there's still like her like abusive ex out in the wild. I don't think that this is him because that's really involved. But
wait, did that abusive ex really exist?
I thought he did, and that's why she like ran and changed her identity. Although she is a bad person. So.
She could just be like a crazy person that's sleeping with teenagers.
I guess I don't know.
Bucky C says, will Betty finally tell Jughead that they share a brother? Will Bughead start figuring out their parents are boinking? Will Cheryl, the Scarlet Deadeye, shoot the Gargoyle King while simultaneously praising its fierce style? Who is Monica Posh, really?
Just a lot of good questions.
It's very gossip girly. I like it.
Yeah, Bucky C is one of our like frequent theorists.
Super listeners,
and so
yeah.
Had to throw those questions in there. I mean, I think I saw this too, and I was like, again, I guess we really don't. Do we know the Betty and Jughead actually know about having a shared half-brother?
The thing is that, like, we don't know that because we haven't seen it.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I feel like they... how do I put this? I'm going to assume that they talk about things off-screen.
Yeah.
Although they don't really talk about things off-screen because they're not real people.
Good point.
But, it is a show. but, yeah, sure, I don't know. Like, if they haven't talked about it, like, what the fuck? Like,
Next theory, we already brought up Grundy in terms of like characters we haven't thought about in a while. Brady _ Oregon says, one, the guy who picked up Jughead after Archie got a flat in episode 7 of season 2 has something to do with all of this. And two, the guy with the hood in the promo is Hiram and him and Archie will fight.
Nope.
Wrong there, but would have not, you know, I wouldn't have been surprised.
Been shorter.
Yeah. But I don't know.
But yeah, the stuff that, I mean, the guy who picks up Jughead with the flat, that's... Mm-hmm. That's the Supernatural episode.
Yes, which again, we've heard from Roberto that is like supposed to clue us into like a big part of this season, stuff that goes on in that episode. So
I hope.
I forget what that farmer's name was. I wrote
have
it down.
No idea.
He's played by Tony Todd. Very good, creepy character actor.
Mm-hmm. And last there is Yay Platypus, at Yay Platypus. The Gargoyle King is really just one nun from the Sisters of Quiet Mercy standing on top of another nun.
It's genius.
I love it.
That's the one. Mm-hmm. I think that's it.
I really hope it is two people standing on top of each other. Mm-hmm. Or just like someone dumb with stilts.
Yeah. I mean, God, it would be so great if the show pulled that off.
Like a bunch of kids.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You darn kids. I do want to have like the Scooby-Doo unmasking moment where he's like, and I would have gotten away with it too.
If it weren't for you meddling kids.
And it's just the sisters.
It's Mr. Williams from the old mine or whatever. Yeah. Right. Let's take a break and we'll come back and talk about our favorite fan moments. Mm-hmm. We are back with the latest edition of The Blue and Gold, where we talk about our favorite Riverdale-adjacent moments every week from the cast, the fans, and beyond. What is yours, Cameron?
I wanted to... We've had a bunch of people tweet about this, so I wanted to talk about it. It's not really about Riverdale, but there's this movie from 1982 called Mazes and Monsters that it was Tom Hanks' first leading role. And it's actually on Amazon Prime, and I haven't watched it, but I'm like, should I? I like kind of briefly scrolled through, and it looks very like old, like made for TV movie, mm-hmm. basically. But I mean, it's essentially about these group of friends led by Tom Hanks that start playing this game. I don't know if they actually call
like
it
like a D&D sitch.
Oh, I guess they probably call it Mazes and Monsters. Yeah, it's basically like D&D, and they get really into it, and they start taking it off board and playing in these caverns. And I mean, I guess this is a spoiler from what I read on Wikipedia, but like Tom Hanks' character starts to get really, really into it and basically goes mad. So I don't know. It's like mapping. I mean, this storyline maps onto that pretty perfectly. And I mean, I don't know. It's obviously a deep cut movie, so I wondered if people were actually aware of it. But it's interesting because it's like we have this plot about griffins and gargoyles, and I think Dungeons and Dragons means something different to culture now than it did maybe when it first started.
When it first started, I think this has been called out in our comments too, that, you know, wasn't there like an actual murder that was like kind of like quote unquote, you know, like where it's one of those things where it's like one punk dies and then they're like, is punk music killing kids? Yeah, like that kind of thing, you know, like someone takes it the wrong way. So I think they're around kind of the mid to early 80s, there was like some Dungeons & Dragons shit happening.
The movie's adapted from a book, and the book was inspired by a real life story, which was like, there were these kids playing this game somewhere, and it ended up being that this kid like was going to kill himself, and it just so happened to be that he like went missing, and it just so happened to be that he was playing the game, but people were connecting that, and there was like this hysteria around it. I mean, it's definitely like punk, or like, I think in my time, it was like when Harry Potter first came out, there was all the hubbub about it, like about Satanism. Magic and being Satanism, which is funny. I wonder if people are freaking out about Sabrina right now. Did you see that?
There's a giant lawsuit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Satanic Church is actually suing Netflix, which is good really luck. Funny. Yeah. I mean, right.
$50 million is what they want. $50. My thing, not to scoot us along.
No, please.
Well, I have one thing that I like and one thing that I don't like.
Oh, share them both.
One thing that I like, I'll do that one first, is that Michelle Visage from RuPaul's Drag Race and a girl group that I can't remember the name of in the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to look it up.
I will, but keep going.
God, what was it called? Loves Riverdale. And like, she loves Cole Sprouse, and she'll talk about it sometimes on What's the Tea, the RuPaul podcast.
Yeah.
And like, RuPaul's like, get out of here. Like, this is a show for teenagers. And Michelle's like, I'm going to start my own podcast about Riverdale. Michelle, do not do that because we'll inevitably be more popular than our podcast.
Yeah, please.
Please come on our podcast. I would love to talk about Riverdale with you when you're back from your London theatrical performances.
Let's chat. Right now. Which cast member do you think would be the best guest judge on Drag Race?
Cammy.
I mean, yeah, I think she's the natural fit because she's like high glam.
Yeah. And I guess she was really great. I'm busy tonight. This week I haven't watched it yet. Her pants looked great.
I watched one of the clips. I think Madeline would be fantastic too.
I'd like to think that, but I think it's Cammy.
Yeah.
My thing that I hate, and I think you hate this too.
Oh boy.
Well, not hate it. It's just that we're a little miffed and a little sad.
Oh.
Is that Roberto tweeted about a Riverdale podcast that he really likes that is not our podcast.
Yeah, man.
He's like, some people pointed this out to me and it's really great. I think they really get the show. And I'm like, we get the show.
We get it.
So guys, as our plea at the end of the episode, please tweet Roberto about how great our show is and about how he should listen to it.
Dedicated our whole lives to a show. It's the least he could do.
We get the show. I mean, I don't need him to shout our podcast out. Like, I feel confident in our podcast, but I think he would like it. I don't know. Mm-hmm. What am I saying?
I don't know. You're right, though. When I saw that, I was like, oh, man, that could have been us. Like, I don't know. I guess I didn't do enough research into the one that he like shouted out.
I don't need his validation. I'm sure that podcast is very good, but I just think you'd like it. That's all. Like the same way I think Michelle Visage would be a great guest on our struggling podcast.
Michelle Visage, the former lead singer of The Soul System.
No.
That's what it says. I guess, you know, if Roberto shouts us out, great. I don't need that validation either, but I do love the validation from podcast reviews. So if you're listening and have been listening, please leave us a nice review on Apple Podcasts.
Shameless. Original group she was in was called Seduction.
That's it. Well, what the hell?
The Soul System was after Seduction.
Oh, okay.
You're like a sentence too late.
I missed it. I didn't realize that word was hyperlinked too. I was just like scanning quickly. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Michelle.
The Soul
we're so
System
sorry.
Was like all like an acronym. And yeah, I don't gotta like know it. What that's very for. 90s. I see that why your eye would be drawn there.
Yeah.
Anyways, speaking of eyes and drawing, we're drawing this episode to a close. I'm drawing this episode to a close. Dial M for Maple is a production of Onion Inc. Our theme music is by Stuart Wood, and I have the hiccups. And our engineer is Stephen Holliger. Our producer is Leah Steltenpole, and our creative director is Leo Garcia. The show is hosted by me, Mara Eakin, and Cameron Cheats. If you like the show, tell your friends and tell Roberto Aguirre Sacasa.
If you're friends with Roberto, definitely tell them.
He can listen, I mean, specifically he and your friends can listen to us everywhere, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, et cetera, et cetera. You can also follow us on Twitter or maybe at Roberto Aguirre Sacasa, and we're at Dial M for Maple. Thank you, guys. Happy Thanksgiving. Next week, we'll be back with a pumpkin pie of an episode for you, mm-hmm. A special drop. And then we will see you guys when the show returns with Manhunter after the holiday.
Bye-bye, Bulldogs. Gobble, gobble. Yikes.